All right, we're going to continue with our post-race press conference for today's Bank of America Roval 400. We've now been joined by our race-winning driver, Christopher Bell. Congratulations on that win, walk-off win. Tell us a little bit about those final laps before we go to questions.
Yeah, just, I mean, really mind-blowing. You know, I just, the whole race went green flag, and you know, I thought we were just kind of buying our time, waiting or getting to the end of the race, and I was running seventh or eighth, and a couple guys were closing on me, so I'm like, man, I just hope I can get out of here with the top 10 and focus on trying to, you know, race for fifth in the points. And then, the tides changed.
All right, we're going to take questions for Christopher. If you have one, raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you, and we'll start in the back with Barry.
Congratulations, Christopher. Barry Richmond, Piedmont Broadcasting Corporation, WAKG. I actually asked this of your crew chief. Going into the next few races, obviously the goal is to win, but how does that strategy change, or does it change now that you're continuing as a contender for the championship?
Yeah, I mean, I feel extremely good about what we have going on here in the next three races. So, you know, ever since the schedule laid out and we were looking at the playoffs, the round of 16 were all really good racetracks for us. The round of 8 were all really good racetracks for us. But then the round of 12 with Talladega and this racetrack in there, I was super concerned and nervous. And, you know, I still felt like we were going to be able to make it through it because we're really good at Texas, and we should be able to get through Texas with a good points day. But whenever we left there with a whopping 3 points, I was just really down in the dumps and sad. And then we went to Talladega and we needed a home run. We needed a lot of points and we didn't score a lot of points. And just, you know, this whole last 2 weeks, I had been extremely deflated and you know, just kind of down in the dumps. And now I can promise you I'm as excited as ever heading into these next three races.
All right, we're going to come up front to Matt.
Matt Weaver, Racing America. That was kind of the question I was going for about, you know, just being down in the dumps. I thought that was the case. But what does that even feel like, that transition from being so down to so up? Like, did you guys even think, because it's been well documented, that Toyotas have really struggled on road courses. Did you even allow yourself to think that this could be an option, no matter how good you've become on road courses?
Honestly, I did not. And there's a gentleman sitting right over here. He goes by Tony Merritt. And he's kind of my my DeWalt guy, and we've built a heck of a relationship up. And, you know, he'd been texting me through the weeks, and you know, he's like, man, we're not out. We're going to win. And, you know, I didn't see it coming. Like, you know, the road courses all year long, we had not been strong, and normally they're good for me. Like last year with the Gen 6 car, I got my first road course win, competed for several more wins, but this year it just wasn't happening. And, you know, but with that being said, you see races all the time where the fastest car doesn't win. And I did keep reminding myself that you know, we're not expecting to be a dominant car or a race-winning car, but as long as you're there at the end of the race, as long as you hang out, put yourself in position, you never know what's going to happen. And, you know, it worked out where we were the first car on tires, and I was able to carve through them.
It did work itself out, but it sounded like from what you said on TV and on the radio that you thought your chances were actually better had the race stayed green instead
yes.
of going
yes.
down to the restart. How come?
Yeah, just because restarts are so hectic and crazy here at the Roval, and, you know, we see so many pileups getting into turn one that I knew that I had a big advantage, regardless if it went green or there was a yellow and I was restarting on the front row. I knew that I had the advantage, but I felt like there were a lot more obstacles that were outside of my control that could take me out of it once the yellow flag flew. But fortunately, it was pretty calm, and the, you know, the front row was able to get away, and I didn't have to worry about guys behind me putting me three wide. So it ended up being smooth sailing, but I did not expect that to be the case. I thought that, you know, we'd be three or four wide getting into turn one.
All right, additional questions? Greg, and then we'll go to Lee.
but you woke up this morning knowing that, yeah, I want to win a race because that's how your mindset. But there had to be part of you that was just like, you know, the sun will still come up tomorrow and I'll still be racing. And when you crossed that line and knew you won, did like his stuff come back to you? I mean, that must have been pretty emotional.
Yeah, I mean, it. It's crazy the amount of emotions that you go through. And really all race long, I was just kind of I think the best I was fifth, and the worst I was 10th or 12th, and which was right in line with how I expected the weekend to go. And you know, I just there's another guy over there, his name's Chris Ball, and he tells me all the time that, you know, you just have to be there at the end of these races. And we see it time and time again where the fastest car doesn't win. And today we were not the fastest car, but we put ourselves in position. My crew chief made a great call to put tires on, and it worked out where we won the race. So we were there at the end.
All right, Lee.
Congratulations, Christopher. How much confidence have you gained this year? Just, you know, kind of getting that first year out of your under your belt with Gibbs, and then, you know, moving into this one where you and Adam could really build something.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that if last year we would have had practice and qualifying, we would have been able to perform just as well. My first two Cup seasons, not being able to qualify and showcase our speed that we have week in and week out has really hurt my stats and my performance as a driver. So, you know, this year is the first year that I've had practice and qualifying and been able to showcase our speed and what we're capable of doing week in and week out. So, I with that being said, I think practice has helped too, because it's helped Adam learn what I need in the car to be successful. So I think practice and qualifying goes hand in hand.
And can you just talk a little bit about your final race start and, you know, getting by Kevin and, you know, what that took?
Yeah, it was honestly fairly simple. Before the yellow came out that mixed everything up, I was really struggling. I'd been out there for 30-something laps on tires. Everyone else had been out there 30-something laps on tires, and it was super slick, and everyone was struggling. And, you know, Adam called me into the pits. So I got stickers, and I knew what everyone else that didn't have stickers, I knew what they were feeling and what they were fighting. So I knew I had a really big advantage. And then it was just going to be a matter of if I could make it through the field clean and not get wrecked and not get run off course, and it worked out. But yeah, I mean, the once I got into second, I felt really good about my shot, as long as I didn't screw it up myself. So I didn't want to see that last yellow and have to restart again, because I was afraid that I was going to get taken out.
All right, we're going to go to Kelly and then Steve.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. First off, not wanting to see the yellow, I think, is surprising. You were that confident you could close the gap on Kevin at that point?
I really was. You know, I knew how slick 30-lap tires felt like. And I had just passed, you know, five or six cars, and they could not get off the corners. You know, off of turn eight, off of both chicanes, they're just really slipping and sliding around. And I knew that I had a really big tire advantage, and I felt confident that I was going to get there. But, I just didn't want to have to deal with a restart.
Adam said situations like this where you have to be up on the wheel, you enjoy that. And you were driving, you could tell you were driving the wheels off of it there at the end as you kept moving forward on those last few restarts. What were you thinking at that point? Were you having fun? Did you realize, okay, look, the task is simple, I have to win? What's going through your mind those final two restarts?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the task was simple. We knew that we had to win, but just try to put myself in good spots. And road course racing is so difficult, because you can get stalled out and get put in a bad spot and lose multiple positions. So I was trying to use what I learned throughout the beginning parts of the race, where people put me in bad spots and I lost multiple positions, and not let that happen to me. And, you know, having a tire advantage that big is it's a big deal.
Okay, additional questions? Steve, and then Trent.
Steve Connolly, the podium finish. Christopher, you mentioned not wanting to get wrecked or any concerns on that final restart. Did you look up in your mirror and realize A.J. Allmendinger was right behind you?
That was my biggest concern, yes. I absolutely did. And you know, A.J., he's a great road racer, but he has taken advantage of me. I can't even count how many times this year. And, you know, he's just so aggressive in the braking zones. And, you know, at Indianapolis Road Course, I think I restarted on the front row or second row. And, you know, he dove bombed me and put me three wide, and that ruined my chance at winning that race. Not saying I was going to win it if he didn't do that, but it took my chance away. And you know, it's happened several times with him behind me because he's very good at executing the braking zones.
And going into this next round, Las Vegas, Homestead, obviously with a mile-and-a-half program, feeling pretty strong with that. Adam said he feels pretty confident there. Martinsville would be the issue for you guys. How important is it to maybe get a win there in Las Vegas, and do you feel that potential with one of those first two races?
Yeah, for sure. I absolutely think we're capable of winning really all of them. And Martinsville, while I don't expect us to perform as strong as I would at Vegas or Homestead, I still think the opportunity to win is there, and certainly much higher possibility to win at Martinsville than the Charlotte Road Course. So, yeah, I mean, we'll just have to go there and execute, and you know, the points are really tight too, so I don't know if it's going to take a win. I guess it's dependent on how everyone else performs, but I certainly like our chances way more in the round of 8 than I did the round of 12.
All right, we're going to go to Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. The field of former Cup champions remaining has been whittled down even further after today. This is certainly seems like a different type of group that's advanced to the final 8. You're a month away. I mean, a month from now, you could be a Cup champion. What does that mean? And the idea of, you know, a month from now that we're talking to you at after Phoenix and you've got a bigger trophy next to you.
Yeah, I mean, we're still alive. That feels really good. And I wouldn't have guessed that, you know, a week ago or even 5 hours ago. So, I mean, I like our chances. And you know, all the rest of the races play out really good for us, and we just have to execute and dot our I's and cross our T's and see where the cards fall. So, you know, it feels good. It feels really good.
One of the things, but what's it like to get to this point? Because it was a struggle early.
Yeah.
And, I mean, pit crew, performances, on-track stuff, nobody would have picked this maybe the first 10 races
of the season. Yeah, it's you know, from the first 10 races into the season, I knew that our performance and capability was there. But like you said, you know, we had a lot of things working against us. And whenever we left, I want to say Atlanta, I don't remember what race Atlanta was in the season, but three or four races in, we were positioned last in the point standings. And, you know, I think a lot of people had written me off as a driver and written the 20 car off as, you know, that Christopher's going to get fired. You know, I mean, I got that all the time, that I'm getting replaced. You know, I'm the 20 car is the revolving door. He's going to be out of here. So maybe I'll get to stick around a little bit longer now. But, you know, with that being said, I don't think we're done. Like a two-win season is not our end goal. And I think that we're certainly capable of more. And you know, I want to be a household name in the Cup Series. And you know, hopefully this is just the start.
Okay, our next question will go to Trent.
Hey, Chris. Trent with frontstretch.com. Kyle Busch referred to your crew chief as the best in the garage. Going into this more narrow list of drivers to potentially get to the Final Four, you know, having somebody like that on the box leading this team for you, what does that mean to you? And if, you know, you have to get in on points because there could be, you know, three different winners and a fourth one getting on a point. So, this team right now where you guys are out, how confident are you in that if that came down to that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, we'll know more after next week. You know, it seems like that first race really sets the tone for how the points lay out and stuff like that. But, you know, as far as Adam Stevens, he's definitely one of the best in the business. And a race car driver is only as good as, you know, the car underneath of him. And, time and time again, Adam gives me the opportunity to showcase my talents, and just grateful to have him as a crew chief. And you know, I can't stress that enough, that a driver is only as good as the race car that he's given, and Adam's the guy who's given me great cars.
All right, any final questions? Okay, we're going to take one final question from Lee.
I noticed some bling on your fingers. Is that kind of like your first, I don't know, the most unique trophy that you kind of, or, you know, I don't know, side trophy, whatever.
So it's ironic that you asked this question, because I actually got a ring for winning the world championship race in New Zealand in a midget car. So I got that. I'm pretty sure I got a USAC championship ring. And then the truck championship ring. So got a couple of them now. Hopefully I can, I guess I can wear them to the banquet.
Larson, I mean, you and Briscoe have raced him probably more than anybody else in the field. Are you surprised that he's on the outside looking in after winning the championship last year?
I mean, after the way that this year has laid out, I'm not surprised, just because, you know, who would have thought Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch would be two of the guys out in the round of 16. So, and then Truex not making the playoffs is mind-blowing too. So it's just been a really, really odd year. And, you know, it's been an odd year. And definitely the eight that are remaining are probably not the eight top cars in the garage. But it's, you know, who's left standing.
All right, Christopher, congrats again on the win. And we wish you the best of luck in the next round of the playoffs.